Well, Happy New Year, everybody. It's so good to have you with us. You have my permission to sanitize your hands after shaking everyone's hands because I know it's cold season, so go ahead, germaphobes, wash your hands. Hey, welcome and Happy New Year. It's great to have you here. I'm excited about this new series, Praying with Confidence. If you didn't get the book yet, make sure you stop by the guest services table on the way out today. The cost for the book is only $10. If you can't afford the book, come see me. I'll make sure you get a copy because I want to make sure that you're able to follow along and be a part of this new series we're kicking off. It's not only a teaching series on Sunday mornings, it's also called 31 Days of Prayer. So we're 3 days in. It's okay. You have time to catch up if you haven't been with us since day one. And we want to invite all of you to participate. Let me just share a few things on how you can get involved in what we're doing for the 31 Days of Prayer. Nick, if you'll pop those up there for me. First of all, we're going to be teaching this series on Sunday mornings, and we want to encourage you to be here. It's a great way to start off the New Year's to get focused on prayer and what God wants to do in our lives. Maybe for you, the habit of prayer has been something very hard. It's not easy to do, and you want to get into the groove of prayer. Maybe you just want to learn more about how to pray. Well, that's what this series is all about, and there's a few ways that you can get involved all this month. There's going to be also a time of fasting. You want to invite everybody on Wednesdays to fast with us, and you can do that in any way you would like. If that's completely giving up food or maybe fasting from technology or media, something like that, we want to invite you to do that and to fill that time with prayer. We're also going to have the opportunity for you to pray daily declarations. And in fact, the daily declarations are based in the book Praying with Confidence. So make sure you pick that up because every day you can read through scriptures that you can pray over your life, over your family. And the book's by Pastor Jeff, who you just saw in the video. Pastor Jeff is our senior pastor who planted our church from our mother church in Allison Park in Pittsburgh. And it's just a wonderful, wonderful book. And in the book, Pastor Jeff created it to where we could read scripture every day and pray those scriptures, those blessings over our lives. So pick up your copy of that. And then we're going to have an extended fast the week of January 20th through 27th. So we'll be talking more about that. But those are just some ideas for how you can get involved. If you've never done a fast before, we're kind of starting off with an easy fast for you to get into, and so maybe you want to do an all-vegetable fast, or maybe just drink water, something like that, but we want to invite you to participate and be a part of this, and if you just happen to lose some weight, well, that goes along with your New Year's resolutions anyway, okay, so it all kind of works together, so it's going to be an awesome month, and we're just excited that you're here today and to be a part of it, so welcome to all of you. If we sell out of all the books today, we'll order some more for next week, or you can also get the book online. I think there's a link up there for you to get the book, but make sure you get it, and so you can really get involved and start praying every day. Each day, for the there's a day that matches the day of the month for 31 days, and there's some wonderful scriptures that you can read and to pray those scriptures and declare those scriptures over your life. And it's just going to get us in the habit of prayer. We're going to start our new year off and just believe for God to do some great things. Are you with me? Does that sound good? All right. We're excited about it. Well, I really believe this series has the potential to change your life. Because if we believe that God is all-powerful, and we believe that God chooses to work through prayer, then when we learn to pray more effectively, that has the potential to touch every area of our lives. And so that's what this series is all about. It's all about praying more effectively. It's about praying with confidence. You know, I was blessed to grow up in a family where my parents believed in prayer. My dad has been a pastor for over 40 years down in the New Orleans area, and my parents taught us prayer. As kids, when we were growing up, if we woke up in the middle of the night and we had a bad dream or something, my parents taught us to pray for the peace of God. And I saw my parents praying for people all the time. There was many times I went with my dad when he went to visit someone in the hospital who was sick, and he prayed over them. And I remember if things were going really bad and difficult times, my dad would go to the church, he would go in the sanctuary, shut off the lights, and he would lay on the floor sometimes and just pray. My parents were people of prayer, and I was blessed to learn that. You know, to this day, when I'm stressed or overwhelmed, sometimes I call home with my parents, and they don't try to solve all my problems. You know what they remind me to do? Son, well, you need to pray. You need to pray. And that's why I call home, so they can remind me. And I remember about a year ago, maybe not quite a year ago, but a few months ago, I was really overwhelmed with some financial needs that we had in our church. You know, being a brand new church, it's a big leap of faith to start a new church. It's a big leap of faith financially. And I remember there was one week I just felt overwhelmed by the financial needs that we had. And so I went to go spend some time in prayer. I had talked to my parents, and they said, we're going to agree with you in prayer. And I live in downtown Harrison, and there's a Catholic church right in downtown Harrison called St. Gregory's, and I go there to pray. It's a really quiet place because I have three boys at home, and I have an office out of my house, and sometimes I need a really quiet place to pray, so I go down to the church, and it's wonderful. Well, that day I got up, and I went and checked my P.O. box first. There was some mail I had to pick up, and then I went over to the church, and in that stack of mail was a letter from a lady who had been supporting our church faithfully. Now, I have to be honest with you, I didn't get very excited when I saw that letter because I know what this lady sends every month, and it's a generous contribution, but it wasn't going to pay all of the bills. So I had this letter with a stack of mail in my jacket pocket while I was praying there at the church and asking God to meet our financial needs, crying out, saying, God, you know we have some bills to pay. We're trusting in you. We started this church to reach people. This is about your kingdom. God, we need your help. We're asking you to send the financial resources that we need. So I spent all that time praying, and I came home, and I started going through that stack of mail, and when I got to that envelope from that lady who has sent support, I opened it, and the amount was 10 times the usual amount. Now, would you believe the whole time I was crying out and asking God to meet that financial need, the answer to my prayer was literally in the pocket of my jacket. Now, you can't make up stuff like that, people. And what I want you to know is that there is power in prayer. God already had things covered. God wasn't worried. He wasn't freaked out. And so prayer is something very powerful. In fact, Charles Spurgeon, the famous British preacher of the 1800s, he said this: prayer is the slender nerve that moves the hand of God Almighty. When you pray, you move the hand of God on your behalf. Now, I know for many of you, prayer seems like this very mysterious thing. It seems like this very unpractical thing, and maybe you feel like you don't even know where to start when it comes to prayer. Maybe prayer seems like something boring, something hard to do. Maybe you might even feel like, why would God answer my prayers? Like, I'm not anybody special. And I know for some of you, prayer kind of feels like making a wish, like Pastor Jeff talked about in the video, like just making this wish to heaven, and you wonder, does anybody up there hear my prayer at all? I remember when I was a kid, when we used to have birthday parties. I remember my first few birthday parties, and they would, my mom would bring me the cake, and there would be candles on the cake, and they would say, make a wish, right? But don't tell anybody or it won't come true, but make a wish. And on your birthday, you get to make a wish, and you blow out the candles, and you get your wish. And I thought, man, this birthday thing is amazing. Well, you know, after a few years, I realized that this making a wish thing didn't really do anything. I usually wish for something like the prettiest girl in school to fall in love with me. Well, after a few years of that not happening, I begin to realize this making a wish thing is a scam. What's up with this? And I think some people feel that way, sadly, about prayer. They feel like this is this scam, this prayer thing. Like, you know, I've prayed a lot of prayers that never came to pass, and I don't feel like God heard my prayers, and so does it make any difference at all when we pray? And so what I want to say to you is that we can actually have confidence in our prayers. And we're going to talk about what it means to pray effectively. That's what this series is about for the next few weeks. It's learning to pray effectively. Now, here's the text that we're going to base this series on. It comes from 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 through 15. This is the Apostle John. He wrote this letter. 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 through 15. And this is what he says about prayer. He says, this is the confidence we have in approaching God. Did you notice that? We can come to God in confidence. We can pray with confidence that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. So God hears our prayers, especially when we pray according to his will. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him. And so here's what the Apostle John is telling us, is that we can actually go to God in confidence when we pray. And the scripture tells us why. The scripture says that we know that God hears us. Why? Because if we pray according to God's will. Now there's a huge tip right there. There's a very powerful tip about prayer. If you want to pray confidently, if you want to pray effectively, the first thing is you have to learn to pray God's will. In other words, put it this way. If you ask for what God wants, you'll always get an answer. That's what John is telling us. See, prayer is really not all about trying to convince God to do everything that we want him to do. I think sometimes we tend to think of prayer being that way. But prayer is not really about trying to get God to do what we want him to do. Prayer is actually agreeing with God about what he wants to do in this world, what he wants to see come to pass. See, prayer is not a wishing relationship. It's actually a working relationship. It's a partnership with God. So I want to begin to reframe prayer for you in that way. Maybe you've never thought about prayer that way before. Maybe you've never conceived of prayer that way before. You were never taught that prayer works that way. But I want us to begin to think of prayer is a partnership with God. It's not making some wish to the heavens and just hoping that some kind of way our prayer is going to get through to God, and God has all of these other prayers coming at him from a million different directions, and we just hope ours gets through. No, prayer is partnership with God. Now, let me talk to you about two purposes of prayer. Two purposes of prayer. The first purpose of prayer is connection with God. Everybody say connection. Connection with God. This is about intimacy with God. This is about having a relationship with God. You know, the wonderful thing about having a relationship with God through his son, Jesus Christ, is that God can become like our best friend. You know that you can talk to God at any time, at any place? That's really what prayer is. Sometimes people think that prayer is this very religious thing, and you have to kind of pray in this monotone voice, and you have to have all of this religious training and speak in these and thous when you pray, and it's almost like chanting like a monk or something like that. But that's not actually what prayer is. Prayer is communion with God. It's coming to know God in a greater way. Prayer is the main way that we talk to God, and that can happen at any place at any time. Now, mind you, people may look at you like you're crazy if you pray anywhere at any time. So, you know, you might want to be discreet, you know, driving down the highway, talking, but you can pray to God anytime. You can pray and have communion with God. But then there's a second focus of prayer, and that's intercession. So if the first focus of prayer is about communion, it's about our relationship with God, knowing God. The second purpose of prayer is intercession, and this is about getting results. This is about getting results. It's not about connection. It's about seeing our world changed. It's about becoming the go-between between heaven and earth. It's about us standing between heaven and earth and praying for God to bring from heaven what needs to come to earth. This is answered prayers. This is God moving in our lives. This is results. And that's the kind of prayer we're going to be focusing on for the next few weeks. Praying with Confidence is a series on intercessory prayer. It's learning how to become the go-between between heaven and earth. It's learning how to be that go-between between heaven and earth for your kids. Maybe you need to pray for your children. Maybe you have a child who's going through something and you want to see God's blessing on their life. Maybe it's praying for a friend who's in need, somebody who's overwhelmed, somebody who's sick. Maybe it's just praying to see God show up in your circumstances. Is there anybody here today, you would say, I need God to show up in my circumstances. I have some needs. I have some people around me who have problems. I have some loved ones who are going through something, and I want to see God's hand move in my life. I tell you what, my hand's up. I want to start the year off, and I want to become more effective in prayer. I want to become more confident in prayer. And so we're going to go on a journey together for the next month as a church, and we're going to join faith together. We're going to learn together, and we're going to become more confident in our prayers. Now, let me give you some aspects of effective prayer. When you came in today, you should have got a note sheet. So if you're following along, we're already taking some notes here so you can take notes. We also have some crayons for you. So if you get bored, you can color your notes as well, okay? All right, you guys got to lighten up a little bit. Come on, we're having some fun in church today. Work with me. So let me give you some aspects of prayer, okay? Here's the first one. The first one is this. It's more about agreeing with God than it is about asking. We're talking about effective prayer. We're talking about prayer that brings results. It's more about agreeing with God than it is about asking. Now, see, there's nothing wrong with asking God for things in prayer. Some people teach that, no, we shouldn't ask God for things, and that kind of prayer is self-centered and selfish. No, listen, the Bible tells us that God cares about our needs. Jesus taught us to pray our Father. He revealed God to us as a loving Heavenly Father who is concerned for your needs. It's okay to bring God your needs. We should share our needs with God. We should share what's going on in our lives and ask Him for some things. But we want to put it in the proper perspective. You see, when we're asking for something, we start with our own agenda. But when we agree with God, we're starting with God's agenda. And so we want to posture our prayers so that we're agreeing with God first before we're asking for something. Your prayer agrees with God, and it brings God's agenda to earth. That's what effective prayer is. We want to agree with the things that God wants to see happen in our lives. In fact, Jesus put it this way in the most famous prayer in all of the Bible, the Lord's Prayer. This is the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 10. This is how Jesus taught his disciples, and he teaches us to pray. He says, "Then this is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Do you see the principle of agreement there? It starts by saying, God, it's about your kingdom. It's about your rule. It's about your reign. It's about you having the priority in my life. It begins with agreement. Then it moves later on to needs, right? Lord, give us this day our daily bread. Lord, forgive us our trespasses. See, but first it begins with agreement. God, what is your will for my life? God, I'm declaring your rule, your reign, your will. I'm coming into agreement with your plan for my life. How many of you know a lot of people pray for things that aren't God's plan and they wonder why they don't get the results? You can pray all day for God to give you $1 million or, you know, to give you the sports car that you want to buy. That's fine. That's how kids pray, and they get frustrated sometimes when it doesn't work out. But the sad thing is sometimes adults pray that way. Right? I mean, my son Aaron's been praying for a Mercedes for a while now. I told him, get a job, kid. But sometimes adults pray that way and they get frustrated because they're not in agreement with God's will. Now, here's a question I'm sure many of you have asked, and it's a legitimate question. Here's the question. You know, God, since you're all powerful, right, and you're sovereign, and you can do whatever you want to do, why don't you just do it? You ever feel that way? Like, you know, come on, let's be honest here. I'm giving you a chance to just have an honest moment in church. Have you ever felt like, what's the purpose of prayer? Like, if God's in charge of everything, if God's sovereign, if he's all-powerful, why do I need to pray for his will to come to earth? He's in charge. Hey, God, just do whatever you want to do. I trust you. You've got this. Like, why does God need me to pray? And that's a really good question. And here's what we see in Scripture. Here's what we see in life. Here's what the people of God have believed for thousands of years. And that's this. God works in our world primarily through our agreement. God works in our world primarily through our agreement. And that's how prayer works. Let me give you another example. See, we read in Scripture that God's desire is for the poor to be fed. Okay? So if God wants that to happen in this world, somebody has to agree with God for that to get done, right? That's you and me. God wants the gospel proclaimed to all creation, all throughout the world. If that's going to happen, we have to agree with God for that to happen. Do you understand? God has left some things for humanity to do. That means we have purpose. That means some kind of way God has left his work in this world to people to do. It's an amazing thing. Can I explain to you why he chose to do that? No, you're going to have to ask him for yourself one day when you get to heaven. But here's what we know. God leaves some things to us, and prayer falls right into that. Prayer is coming into agreement with God for what he wants to see happen on this earth as it is in heaven. That's what prayer is about. And there's power in agreement. Here's the reality. You can agree with God to do his work in this world, or you can agree with evil and bring that to pass. And many times we give in to temptation, we give in to the negative things that pull on us, and we bring pain and hurt into our world. And you put on the news every day and you see people who are aligning themselves and coming into agreement with evil, and that plays out in 1,000 different ways. So agreement is a very powerful thing. The fact that we're human beings made with free will is a very powerful thing. And so there are all kinds of things that God wants to do in this world through you and me and through prayer. And somehow he has left it to us to fill in the blanks. Some kind of way he has left it to us to come into agreement with him to see his work unfold here in this world. What an amazing concept. That means we have a very important role to play. That means your prayers are very powerful. All the more should that encourage us to become people of prayer, because we want to see God's will released in our lives. How many of you want to see God's will released in your life? You want to see God's will released in your family, God's will released around you in your sphere of influence. There are people with needs. We want to see God's kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And so we have to come into agreement with God for that. Now, let me give you an illustration from the Christmas story. We're coming fresh off of Christmas. We looked at this story at Christmas Eve. It's the Christmas story from Luke chapter 1. The angel Gabriel appears to the Virgin Mary, and he announces to her, he tells her that she is going to give birth to the Savior, to the one who will save his people, to the Messiah, to the Son of God. It's a pretty overwhelming announcement he makes to Mary. And what does Mary say? How is this going to happen? I've never been with a man before. And then the angel Gabriel tells her, the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you, right? And you're going to be with child. And then he goes on to say this in Luke chapter 1, verses 37 through 38 from the Amplified Version. He says, "For with God, nothing is ever impossible." Boy, that's a good promise for us to pray together as a church. Can we just pray that together? I'm going to read that again. Just pray that and speak this out in faith with me. "For with God, nothing is ever impossible. And no word from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment." Then Mary said, "Behold, I am the handmaiden of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to what you have said." Wow. There's some interesting principles about prayer there. So the angel Gabriel brings a word from God to Mary. How many of you know that there's power in God's word? And listen to what the angel says. He says that there's no word from God that shall be without power. So when you have a word from God, when you have a promise of God, maybe from Scripture, and there's power in that Scripture. There's power there for us to get a hold of, but we have to come into agreement with it. So here's what the angel said. God has made this promise to you, but Mary had to come into agreement with it. And what did Mary say? By faith, let it be done to me as you have said. See, Mary came into agreement with the word of God, with the promise of God, and it brought about a miracle in her life. It brought about something impossible. Now, here's the thing. It took 9 months for that miracle to be fully revealed, didn't it? But she had to come into agreement with God for that promise. And so some of you right now, you're believing for something. Maybe you're believing for a healing. Maybe you're believing for a new job. Maybe you're believing for a loved one who's going through a difficult time for God to reach down and touch them. So first of all, we want to come into agreement with God's word. God, what does your word have to say about this situation? That's how we begin to pray more effectively. We come into agreement with God for every area of our lives. We line up with God's word and we begin to pray God's will over our lives, over our families, over our marriages, over our finances, over our health. We don't just get to pray with everything that we want, but now we come into agreement with God. And that's what prayer is. It's mixing our faith with the word of God to see the impossible become possible. Are you with me this morning? Prayer is very powerful. Here's the second principle of effective prayer. It's not about overcoming God's reluctance. It's about tapping into his willingness. Think about that for a moment. It's not about overcoming God's reluctance. It's about tapping into God's willingness. You see, there are two prevailing views of God in the world. Here's the wrong view of God. Let me give it to you first because it's one that is out there in a prevailing way. And that is that God is distant. That is the belief that yeah, okay, you know, maybe there's a God, but he most likely created the world and he kind of set it in motion, but he stepped back and it kind of runs on its own. He's not very involved. He's a distant God. And, you know, listen, if he's up there, I'm really not one of his favorites anyway. You know, I'm really at the back of the line. And so it's really hard for me to believe that my prayers are going to get up there and make any real difference. And no wonder so many people who have that belief about God don't pray very effective prayers and get frustrated in their prayer life. And so for praying for them is kind of like just making a wish and throwing it up there, right? That's the wrong view of God. We have to get a right view of God if we're going to pray effectively. Here's the biblical view of God. The biblical view of God is that God is not distant, that God is involved in our lives, that God cares about humanity, that God knows our needs, that his presence is in our lives, that God wants to come to us. He wants to work on our behalf. And listen, here's the good news. This is where it gets really good. Even when you sin, even when you're distant from God, even when you're not thinking about him, God's thoughts are for you. God desires to have a relationship with you. That's what God sending his son Jesus is all about. That's at the core of what Christians believe, that God came to us. We're coming off of the Christmas season where for a month long, we talked about the joy and the wonder of a God who comes to us. And so the biblical view of God is that God is involved in our lives. And so if you think about that, that really impacts what we believe about prayer. When we pray, do we believe that we're trying to move a reluctant God, or do we believe that we're praying to a God who wants to be involved in our lives, who wants to answer our prayers? You see, I believe that God has a will for your life, and it's a good plan. Now, am I telling you that bad things are never going to happen to you? No. We live in a fallen world. We live in a broken world. But here's what I'm saying. God's will and God's plan for you are good things. And so when we pray, we come to God not believing that we're moving a reluctant God, but that we're praying to a willing God who hears our prayers and wants to work on our behalf. I hope that's really good news for you today. I hope that really encourages you in your prayer life. Now, here's the thing. This is very important. Let me give you an important caveat. God's will might be different from yours. Newsflash, right? God's will might just be different from yours. Let me just give you that disclaimer. See, Mary probably didn't think she was going to get pregnant with the Messiah, the Son of God, as a teenager. She probably didn't have that in the plans in her cards, right? Mary probably thought, well, I'm going to get married to this nice guy, Joseph, and he's a carpenter, and he's going to build a nice little house for us, and we're going to live in Nazareth, and we're going to have 3.5 children and live happily ever after, right? She wasn't really expecting to be, you know, the one who would give birth to the Son of God. God's will was a little bit different for her life than she had it planned out. And here's the reality. With our limited knowledge, we have just enough ability to really screw up our lives, don't we? Because we're working from our limited point of view, our limited knowledge. And sometimes God is going to say no to some things that we pray for. And it's not that God is reluctant. It's that God is wiser. It's that God has a will, and he's working his will into your situation. I think about that song from Garth Brooks that was really popular a couple years ago. I thank God for unanswered prayers. Remember that song? You know, some of the best things that ever happened to me were unanswered prayers. Come on, some of the best things that ever happened to you were unanswered prayers. And so the truth is, God's will is different from our will. But how many of you would venture to believe that God knows what he's doing more than we do? I'm going to entrust my life to him. And so when I pray, I have to go to him believing that he's willing, believing that he has a good plan for me, believing that he's working out his will and his plan for my life. But I have to trust him. I have to trust him with my life. And so you might ask, well, Pastor Jimmy, how do I know the will of God? Boy, that's a very common question. You want to go out for lunch today for about 2 or 3 hours? We can talk about it. But let me give you one little simple thing. When you get into the Word of God, you will better know the will of God. The will of God is found in the Word of God. And that's why we want to couple the Scriptures with prayer. That's why Pastor Jeff, when he wrote this book, 31 Days of Prayer, it's saturated with Scriptures. The daily devotional is really about praying Scriptures back to God. And so if you want to know God's will, you have to know God's word. And that's why I want to encourage you to get into God's word, to study God's word. And then you begin praying God's word. And you don't have to wonder if you're praying God's will. Because see, if you're praying for a family member who's messed up, any of you have any messed up family members, you don't have to put your hand up. Some of you are like, yeah, my whole family's messed up. Please pray. They're all jacked up. Listen, you can begin praying. God, I know your will says that it's your desire that none should perish, but all might come to repentance. God, I'm praying for you. I'm believing you to save my family. And maybe you have a habit or an addiction, or you know somebody who's bound up with some really bad habit, and you can start praying. God, the scripture says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, right? Or maybe you're just dealing with guilt and like condemnation, and just every time you sin, you just feel like you've lost and just messed up and crashed and burned. And you just begin to pray what the scripture says. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. And then you begin to pray with authority because you're praying the scripture back to God. And so we have to know that God is willing. He's got a good will for us. He's got a good plan for us. We want to come into agreement with him. We're not moving the hand of a reluctant God who doesn't want to be involved in our lives, who's distant, who's busy, who's off doing other things. No, he's a God who's poised. He's a God who wants to hear your prayers and wants to work in your life. All right, here's the third principle. We have to keep moving here. Effective prayer, it's about praying God's promises, not out of hopes, but out of my inheritance. Everybody say inheritance. It's not about praying out of my hopes, but out of my inheritance. You know, sometimes when we go to God like with these hopes. Not so much in confidence, not so much knowing who we are, but sometimes our prayers sound something like this. God, just maybe if you could just do this thing for me just this one time, like I'm just hoping and just believing, Lord, just maybe this one time, you know, the Saints might win the Super Bowl. I don't know. Whatever your prayer is. I prayed like that for years, and then finally in 2009, it happened. My life is fulfilled now. Whatever it is, you know, Lord, if the Jets would just win the Super Bowl, you know, for once in your lifetime, all right? Now you're paying attention. But sometimes we go to God with these hopes. Okay, now I have the bunny trail. The other day I was watching this ESPN 30 for 30, and it was about the Buffalo Bills losing the Super Bowl for 4 years. Did anybody, any of you guys see that? If you're an NFL fan, you're very familiar with this. And I lived in the wonderful city of Buffalo for 6 years where this thing just looms over people. And they were showing the TV personality and news guy, Tim Russert, and he was just throwing up a prayer. It was like Super Bowl 4, and he was like, God, just maybe, just if just one time the Buffalo Bills can win the Super Bowl. But sometimes we pray like that, don't we? God, just maybe, just if you just could hear this prayer, just with this hope, and we have no idea of what basis we have to go to God in prayer. Are you with me this morning? We have no idea what basis we have to go to God and expect anything. But here's what the scripture says. In Romans chapter 8, verses 16 through 17, the scripture says something about who we are in Christ and the confidence that we have to go to God in prayer. It says this, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirits that we are God's children. So this is for those who have placed their faith in Jesus Christ. This is what happens when you become a Christian. When you place your faith in Christ, you're adopted into the family of God, and the Holy Spirit inside of you testifies that you are a child of God. That's who you are. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. So here's the thing. When you go to God, you don't go to God as a beggar. You go to God as a son or daughter with the right to an inheritance. Are you with me this morning? Sometimes we just go to God just with, we're just begging and just with hopes. But listen, you have to know who you are if you are a follower of Jesus. And I know some of you are on the spiritual journey, but here's what we believe. When you're a follower of Christ, you are adopted into God's family. Your identity is that you're a son or a daughter of God. And so you go to God with the confidence of who you are. I can tell you, my kids, when they come to me for something, they come with boldness. They come with confidence because they know I'm their dad. They know who they are. I will tell you, Michael Julian, my number two, he wakes up every morning and says, "Dad, I want a waffle." And Dad, I don't just want a waffle. I want syrup on my waffle. I got it, kid. I make you breakfast every morning. Dad, I want syrup on my waffle. Dad, I want syrup on my waffle. Every day, he comes to me with boldness and confidence, okay? Now, if he went to your house, I don't know. He might ask you for a waffle with syrup, but he's confident asking me, right? Because I'm his dad, and there's an expectation there that Dad's going to take care of me. Dad's going to make my waffle for me, and he's going to put syrup on me. And boy, is he happy when he gets it. But we can approach God with confidence. We can approach God with confidence, knowing who we are. Now, this isn't cockiness. This isn't, you know, some people kind of take the promises of God and they throw them back in his face. Now, God, this is what you said you're going to do. Like God's a genie in the bottle. If you just rub the lamp and you make a wish, he's going to give you everything you ever wanted. That's not really the way it works. We go to God in humility, but we also go to God confidently. So it's really more something like this. God, I know in and of myself, I'm nothing. God, I know I don't deserve your grace. God, I don't deserve everything you've done for me, but God, I know you're a good God. God, I know you're a God of grace and you love me and you accept me. And God, I thank you that I'm your child. And God, I'm trusting you for this need. That's how we go to God, knowing who we are. We can go confidently. We can go boldly. We come humbly, but we go knowing who we are. And so we don't just throw up these hopes, but we come into agreement with God, trusting that he can work in our lives because God's got us. Listen to me. God's got you. God's got you. He hears your prayer. Jesus taught us to pray, "Our Father." It puts the relationship in order right from the very beginning. We're going to him as a loving, heavenly Father. I can't tell you how many times I have to spend more time on that first part of the prayer when I go into prayer. God, help me to believe that you're my Father. God, help me to believe that you are my loving Heavenly Father, that you hear my prayer. And God, you know what I'm going through right now. God, you see what's going on in my heart. And God, help me to believe that you are my Father in heaven. Come on, if we can get that first part of the prayer, we can unlock the rest of that prayer. But sometimes we get hung up on that first part, just believing that God is our Father. And so we go to him knowing who we are, knowing who we are. Here's the fourth thing about effective prayer. It's less about making requests, and it's more about making declarations. See, when you begin to put this all together, when you begin to realize that prayer is coming into agreement with God and that God is willing, and when you begin to know who God, who you are in Christ, then you begin to come to God, and it's not so much about making requests. We still do that, but it becomes making declarations about what God wants to do in your life. It's tapping into the power of prayer. You see, it goes like this. Because I know what your word says, God, I know who I am in Christ, and I come into agreement with you and your promises for my life. That's how prayer begins to change. It doesn't become, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. It doesn't become, God, just maybe, just if you would just hear me this one time. No, it becomes, God, I know who I am in you. I know what your word says. And God, I'm coming to you in prayer, and I'm trusting you. And God, I'm going to proclaim your word over my life, over my kids, over my family, over my coworkers. God, my coworkers are driving me crazy. I'm praying over them today. Please help me. Right? You begin praying those declarations. And so you have to know those promises of God for your life. And it's saying, God, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you. Now, here's the thing. We have to trust that God is going to determine how that plays out in our lives, right? We still go to God trusting in his sovereignty. We make these declarations. We pray the scriptures back to God. We trust in his promises. But we trust how he works it out in our lives according to his will and according to his timing. That's very important. I want to leave you here today thinking that you can just go pray anything and pray whatever you want into reality. The truth is we pray those things and then we trust God for the fulfillment. That's a very important part of prayer. Let me give you this illustration. We have a picture we're going to put up there of a check. Put that picture up there. And here's the thing. Here's a simple analogy for you. This is like for every one of us who are followers of Christ, we're given this check. And the check is made out to every follower of Christ. And the amount in the dollars placed there is all of God's promises, okay? When you're a child of God, when you're a believer, when you've placed your faith in Jesus Christ, you become an heir of all that God has promised for your life. In fact, the scripture says that we are co-heirs with Christ. That's in there. We're co-heirs with Christ. We have inherited the promises of God through Christ. So the check, the promises of God, the blessings of God are made out to us. Now, the check is already signed by Jesus Christ. When Jesus came, When he went to the cross for us, he solidified the promises of God for our lives. Salvation, healing, God's favor, God's presence, God's blessing in our lives. So he's already made good on it. He's already made good. His name's on the check. Now, the second line is open because we have to sign it and we have to come into agreement with God for his promises over our lives. So we that's what we do in prayer. We agree with God. We say amen. We agree with God and we trust him for all that he's promised us. But here's the last part. Here's the last part. We submit it to God and we wait on his timing for it to be cashed. Are you with me? We trust God. We know his promises. We believe what he's done for us. We come into agreement, but we give it to him and we trust that he cashes that check in his timing and according to his will in his plan. And so you can't leave that principle out because a lot of times people get through the whole process and then they want to cash that check on their timing and according to their will in their way. But the last part is we make those declarations over our lives and then we submit it to God and we trust and believe for him to hear our prayers and to work it out. We trust that he's good, that his will for our lives are good. And that's the posture of intercessory prayer. That's the posture of intercessory prayer. It's grabbing hold of the promises of God by faith, giving it back to God in prayer and trusting his timing and his will for the release. I hope that helps you this morning. I hope that helps you. Because see, if you'll put all of that together, your prayer life will become more effective. You can begin praying more confidently. And you can be less frustrated about why things aren't happening. Or if you're praying the right way, if you're praying God's will and why God didn't give you a Ferrari or whatever that was you were praying for. Now you can trust him for his will and his timing to bring it to pass. I want to pray for you this morning. Would you stand with me? The worship team's coming back. In just a moment, we're going to receive communion. We're going to start the new year off in communion together, but we're going to pray together. And here's our prayer today, that over the next 31 days, over this month of January, that God would make us more effective in our prayer. How many of you want to be more effective in your prayers? How many of you have some needs around you, some loved ones, some people who are hurting, somebody who's sick, and you want to see God's hand move in your life? That's what we're agreeing upon together this month. And so first of all, here's our first prayer, because we're going to pray this together as a church. And maybe you're here today and you're not quite sure what you believe. Maybe a friend invited you to church. Maybe you heard about this church in a movie theater when you were coming to see Star Wars or something, and you're just here. And listen, if you're not quite sure what you believe, we love you. You're welcome. Just come hang out with us. We're going to explore prayer over the next few weeks, and I hope it benefits you. And our prayer is that you would know that God loves you, that he's for you. But here's the first thing. We want to pray that God would make us a people of prayer. I want to see Redemption Community Church become a praying church that prays so effectively that we begin to see God do something in our community, in Westchester, in our region, in Portchester, in Rye, in Harrison, in White Plains, in Mamaroneck, in Greenwich, that we begin to see God do something, that God would begin to move through you to your family members, to your friends, to your coworkers, to your sphere of influence. I want to become known as a church that prays and makes a difference. See, Jesus, his disciples came to him when he taught them the Lord's Prayer. It should actually be called the disciples' prayer because they said, Jesus, teach us how to pray. And Jesus taught them. So our prayer today is, God, teach us by your Holy Spirit how to pray. God, we want to be more effective in our prayer. And then here's the second thing. I want to come into agreement with you because I know many of you have some real needs. Right now, you have some real concerns, some real things that are weighing on your heart. And I believe that you sincerely want to see God's hand move in your life to touch that need. And I can't tell you that it's all going to happen in the timing and the way you would expect it to, but here's what I do believe. I believe God is good. I believe God is for you. I believe God is with you. I believe God hears your prayers. And so we want to come into alignment with the word of God. And like Mary, we want to come into agreement with God and believe for the release of his power to do what only he can do. Would you pray with me this morning? Father, we thank you once again for this new year, for this Sunday, for this opportunity to gather together in your presence. I thank you for every person who's here today. God, I thank you, Lord, that you know where each one of us are on our journey of faith. And God, first of all, I'm asking that you would give us more faith. Whether we're a believer in Jesus Christ or we're just checking things out, God, I'm praying that you would give us more faith to trust in you, to believe that you hear us. God, we need faith to become people of prayer. And so, God, we're asking you, come on, make this personal. Ask it for yourself this morning. God, we're asking you to make us people of prayer. God, teach us how to pray. Jesus, even as your disciples came to you and said, Lord, teach us how to pray. That's our prayer today. Holy Spirit, we're asking you to teach us how to pray to be more effective in prayer. Teach us to pray according to your will, God. Teach us to pray your word. God, teach us to pray and believe that you're a good and loving Heavenly Father. God, remind us of who we are when we come before you with our needs, when we cry out to you, God, to know that you're a good and loving Heavenly Father. God, teach us to trust you and to submit our prayers to your will and to your timing. Now, Father, I come into agreement with every person in this place, Father, for every need in this place. God, we believe that you're a God who saves. God, we believe you're a God who heals. God, we believe that you're a God who wants to give us love and joy and peace. We believe that you're a God who wants to set people free, and you want to meet the needs that we have. And so, Father, we submit our needs to you today. We trust you. I ask you to move on behalf of every need in this place. Every need in this place, that God, you would show yourself powerful. Father, I'm praying over the next 31 days that we just hear great reports of how you work in our lives. Great reports of how you draw us closer to yourself. Great reports of how you use us to bless somebody else. God, how you put new visions and dreams and hopes in our hearts. How you work through us. How you come through in our situation. God, right now we believe you for it. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.